4:17, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, joined now by the one and only Emily Miller, Washington Times, senior editor of the opinion pages. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Andy.
The debate, who won, who lost, or was it indeed a draw? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, Andy, I personally do not believe in calling winners and losers in these things, because what's the point? You know, you won a debate. It's still an election. It doesn't change the election. Or you won the first debate or the second debate. It just has no bearing. I mean, what changes the election is if voters' minds were changed and they're, you know, or undecideds made a decision. You know, or in this case, because Obama performed so poorly in the first debate and momentum really shifted towards Romney and made him the front runner, all Obama needed to do was win or lose. He just had to move the momentum back to him, and that did not happen. I mean, we saw in, you know, all these focus groups afterwards that just didn't happen, and the polls haven't shifted. I mean, it still takes a few days, obviously, for this stuff to sift through, and, you know, we can see if Obama's numbers go up. But, you know, winning or losing, you know, I definitely think Obama did a much better job this time, and they're pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
You know, and
yes,
like you said, it was very confrontational, and I really thought they were going to get blows at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think that, you know, either Romney or Obama walked away with this and said, this is a game changer, like we did in the last one.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, though, and I was talking about this a little earlier, CNN, a couple others came out with these overnight polls regarding the debate. And in the case of CNN in particular, they gave the debate to Obama. But on all the key issues, you know, the economy, jobs, you know, getting things moving again in the right direction, all of those other issues, they gave to Romney. And so how did, at the end of all of that, when you look at all of the things that are really important to Americans and Romney wins them all, how do you give the debate to Obama? Well, you know what it was? The category of style points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we base, our elections on now, style points.
You know, it's the nature of, you know, television is that, you know, we saw this back in 1960 with Nixon versus Kennedy. You know, it's going to be style. But, you know, the style is the style that commands character. And that's what's, you know, in the first debate, Obama did so poorly because his style was to look aloof, arrogant, disinterested, and that says a lot about his presidency and his character, that he has allowed 4 years of trillion-dollar deficits, high unemployment, you know, failed energy policy, and that sort of came across in that way. Now, in this debate, you know, Obama was paying attention, he was, you know, engaged, he was focused, and so it made him appear to be a president who was on the ball and was actually working. So I think that is how style does matter, because it reflects, you know, their personalities.
Yeah.
And as far as Romney goes, in the first debate, people didn't really know him, and not a lot of people have seen him outside of the filters of sort of the liberal media and the mainstream television. And so they got to see the man's character, they got to see his mannerisms, his intelligence, his warmness, and so I think that was the style that sort of mattered. But again, it's a more of a reflection of the man's character and what we're seeing through that.
Yeah. What about the side story, which was help from the moderator, Candy Crowley? You know, they changed the rules at the last minute to accommodate her, so she wouldn't have to be, as she referred to, what did she say? Oh, I don't want to be a fly on the wall. So they allowed her to ask follow-up questions. She ended up injecting herself into the conversation to the tune of, I think, actually changing the debate a bit with her support of the president regarding this whole situation at the Libyan embassy.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I agree completely. I was sort of shocked that the commission went along with this demand from this one journalist at the last minute. I mean, when the two campaigns should have just held their guns and said, we had an agreement. We wanted a moderator. We do not want someone thrusting themselves in for their own self-aggrandizement.
Yeah.
I thought that was just completely unnecessary. And I could not see anything that she asked as a follow-up that really changed, that really illuminated better for the person who's asking the question, which was the whole point of a town hall debate. It was just for, you know, Candy Crowley to look really good. And like you said on the Benghazi question, now I say Mr. Romney, Governor Romney, did slip a little bit in just in the way he phrased that attack. And it's such an important issue, and so many Americans are focused on it. This president for weeks continue, and his administration continually said that the our ambassador in Libya was killed, was murdered over this movie about Muslims,
yeah.
which is just was totally inaccurate, and it was a terrorist attack by Al Qaeda. Well, that is a completely legitimate attack, and it's, you know, great that Romney did it, but just in the way that he phrased it,
mm-hmm.
by saying he didn't say terrorist attack in the Rose Garden, just by saying it so narrowly like that, then Obama could appeal, and then, you know, it gave Candy Crawley that opportunity to say, oh, well, you know, he did say terror. Now, he did say active terror in the at the White House, but he didn't say it in reference to this attack.
That's exactly right.
He didn't
right.
say it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really, and she later has said, oh, well, you know, it wasn't, she, you know, moderates herself at that point, but it's too late. You know, the points happen. It was a loss in the moment, Terry lost for Romney, and, you know, CNN can rest assured they're continuing to support their candidate.
Yeah, it's true. All right, I want to take you down the path of a couple of things you have written this week. One, the gun owner's election, and this deals with former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. This guy had some weird things to say about gun rights, didn't he?
Well, he did, but you know what was so interesting is John Paul Stevens spoke to the Brady Center on Monday.
Yeah.
And he said he was a former, you know, Supreme Court justice who wrote the dissenting opinions in the Heller-McDonald cases, which are the biggest cases in gun rights in 100 years, 80 years. He wrote the dissenting opinions. So he came out and said that those opinions only apply to handguns in the home, and that it leaves open that Congress really has the right now and should institute all these new laws about where you carry your gun, about what kind of guns you carry, it's basically calling for the assault weapons ban, calling for closing the gun show loophole, calling for laws that protect, that restrict where you can carry your gun. So, but the thing is the timing is just so interesting, because then last night we got this question about gun control,
yeah.
you know, from the audience, and
mm-hmm.
Obama, for the first time ever, since he's been in office, has said publicly that he supports the assault weapons ban being brought back, which was really a huge deal for gun owners. You know, Mitt Romney obviously said, I don't support that. But, you know, Obama coming out and saying that and then saying we need to get automatic weapons off the streets, and automatic weapons are already not on the streets. They've
yeah.
been regulated since 1934. It's incorrect. Well, and then he said, on top of it all, he goes even further to say, well, there are inexpensive handguns in Chicago are the real problem. So he's going to start banning guns because they don't cost enough. Obviously, the only person that will hurt is the poor living in poor areas who can't afford a nicer handgun because theirs isn't fancy enough for Obama. And then, you know, assault weapons ban, which is, you know, such stupid wording that only comes from the gun grabbers. There's no gun assaults you.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was banned were cosmetic things. It was a collapsing stock on a rifle. It was a pistol handle, and it was a bayonet lug. That's it. They're all accessories that don't change in any way the function of a gun. The guns are all semi-automatic, one trigger pull, one bullet, very simple. This is what people use all the time for defense. They use for hunting. This is common weapons. And this is what Obama would fight to enact in the second term.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's so funny with the left and guns and their overt feeling toward guns themselves. And they constantly tell us that, you know, absent the gun, the crime wouldn't happen. So it's the gun's fault. But you ever notice when they talk about a terrorist attack where guns are used to kill Americans, it's never the guns. It's always the terrorist. You know,
that's a very interesting point.
Really, I mean,
much of their rhetoric is about fear-mongering. And it's about, quite frankly, the public's lack of knowledge, ignorance of how guns work. I mean, the fact that the woman in the audience referred to an AK-47 was sort of ridiculous because it insinuates, which the president then said openly, that it's an automatic weapon. Because AK-47 civilian and military have the same name, as opposed to, say, the American M16, which becomes the AR-15, so it has a different name in the civilian semi-automatic.
Yeah, yeah.
But all this is deliberate. This is not accidental. I mean, they all sat down. They came up with this term assault weapons. They came up with calling it AK-47 because it sounds scary. You know, it is absolutely deliberate, and, you know, you saw how that gets perpetuated in the public by people like President Obama.
Yeah, yeah. I have hunting guns, and I've had for years that are not AK-47s, but would, quite frankly, do more damage than an AK-47. So you're right. It's all about what the left has painted, you know, this image of this particular weapon. But anyhow, listen, out of time for this week. As always, love having you on the program. Please come back and do it again next week.
Of course I will.
All right. See you, Emily.
Bye.
Take care. Emily Miller, Washington Times Senior Editor of the Opinion Pages. 427, 730 AM and 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.